a voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? If I have already spoken, Lord, about peace being established and pardon being secured and the price being paid through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I've already said that, what more is there to say?"
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, it sounds like what we just heard there is the gospel. And so it sounds like you're going to be saying there is more for us to be sharing than simply the gospel.
Well, yes, how to respond to the gospel and the need to respond to the gospel. So, I mean, it's one thing and it's a wonderful thing to present to a person what is offered in Jesus Christ. But what is offered has to be received. So yeah. I want to press that in the program today. Here we are coming near to Christmas. We're celebrating all that Jesus Christ came into the world to do and to give and to offer. But what he offers must be received. To as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. And so we're in Isaiah 40. We're looking at what God says is to be spoken about his son and the wonderful truth of the peace that he brings, but the great need for every person while we have life to respond to Jesus Christ.
Well, as Pastor Colin just said, we are in Isaiah chapter 40. So I hope you'll join us there as we begin the message, the Word of God.
I want to focus today on an aspect of Christmas that is always with us, but it is sometimes forgotten or even ignored, and that is that there are some people who will be greatly missed. And just thinking around the congregation, this will be true for many of us again this year. A father, a mother, a grandfather, grandmother, a close friend has died, and when Christmas comes, we really miss them. We miss them every day, every week, but in this season, it is especially poignant. Perhaps there was a chair where Grandma always sat, and now it feels like there's an empty chair and nobody else can quite fill it, or something that was done, or something that a family member always said, and memories come back, and we are reminded of how rich our lives have been because of those God has placed in them. The Bible really is a wonderful book. It speaks into the reality of our lives. And because it is the Word of God, it always brings to us strength and hope for every circumstance. And I've been praying that that will be true in a special way for many of us today. We've been looking at Isaiah in chapter 40, a remarkable chapter that begins with comfort and ends with renewing our strength. That in itself ought to make this chapter a special focus of interest. And the reason that it begins with comfort and that it ends with the renewing of strength is that it is packed full of anticipations of Jesus Christ. And we saw last time that God is calling his people here to speak tenderly, verse 2, into a broken world. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And that gives you the tone in which God is speaking throughout this chapter, and therefore the tone in which I particularly want to speak today. We are to speak tenderly into a broken world. But then what are we to say? Well, that's the question that's answered in this chapter, and we looked at the first part of the answer last week. We are to say this, that peace is established and pardon secured and a payment has been made through the person of Jesus Christ. We saw that marvelous summary of the gospel really in verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and here's what you're to tell her. Peace is established. Notice verse 2, her warfare is ended. That's peace. Pardon is secured. Verse 2, her iniquity is pardoned. And a payment has been made. We saw that in the phrase that she has received the double, literally translated, the duplicate from the Lord's hand. All that is brought to account with regards to our sins is paid for. The payment has been made. And how will all this happen? And the answer is, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. God himself is going to come to do these things. It will happen through a person. And this is what Christmas is all about. God with us, God acting for us, God in Christ coming to pay the price and to secure the pardon and to establish the peace. Say this, speak it tenderly into a broken world, God says to the prophet Isaiah. And God has done this. This is what has been accomplished in Jesus Christ who came into the world. These are the priceless gifts that he holds in his hand and that he offers to all who will come to him even today. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Speak into a broken world with great compassion about what God has done in Christ. This is the message of comfort that is trusted to the church. And our commission is to take it to the world, and that begins with all those that God has placed around each and every one of us in our daily lives. Now that's where we got last week, and I want you to notice that the message that has been entrusted to the church does not end there. And so we take it up in verse 6. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? Now you get the sense of this after the first five verses that we've just reviewed there. If I have already spoken, Lord, about peace being established and pardon being secured and the price being paid through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I've already said that, what more is there to say? And then the voice of God is saying, no, there's something else I want you to say. A voice says, cry. What shall I cry? What else can I say, O God? Clearly, there is more to say. And so today we come to the second answer. Just before we come to it, let me just pause with this little note because I do think it's significant. And I know that this is something that goes to the root of our church and that we value very, very greatly. It's at the very foundation of my own life. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? It is not for pastors and teachers to craft a message that they think the people will want to hear. The message is given, and the message is given in the Word of God. So faithful pastors and faithful teachers, Sunday school teachers, life group leaders, people who want to have influence in the life of others, faithful speakers are those who open the Bible and then come before God in prayer, and with an open Bible, they say, what shall I cry? And then with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, they look at what is in front of them, and that is what they say. That's a whole philosophy of ministry right there. And it goes to the very root of what we most deeply believe about the centrality of the Word of God in the life of the church. Now, what is it that God gives to his people to declare to the world here in the second strand of the answer that is being unfolded? We're being given the ministry, the message that we are to bring to the world right here in this chapter that will bring renewal of strength and is going to be the very means of comfort. Notice what God says, and it's really here in three parts. Here's what you're to say, God says. And I summarize it this way. Number one, you're to tell people this, your life is beautiful and it is fragile. Now notice that in verse 6. All flesh is grass and all its beauty, notice that word, is like the flower of the field. So God says, you're to speak about this, you're to speak about the beauty of human life. This is part of the message that is trusted to the church. God is the creator, and he has made everything beautiful in its time. Human life is a miracle, it is a gift of God's grace. Our second granddaughter was born this year, and throughout many, many families, there's been a birth this year. And we felt, as many again have felt, a sense of renewed awe and wonder at the sheer beauty of the gift of human life. And here is the amazing thing that we are told in Scripture, that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. Psalm 8 says about men, about women, that he has set humankind, God has set humankind over all creation. There is nothing else in the created order that comes close in its value to a human life. Only this life is made in the image and the likeness of God, and he has therefore crowned humankind with glory and with honor. And in Psalm 8, God says, and put everything under his feet. Think of this, we were made in the image and likeness of God, enough likeness that we could be tempted to think that we are God and to try and to take his place. Oh, Satan seized on the likeness and said, that's just where I'll tempt them. Think about this, what makes a human life valuable? Why do you matter? If you come into an opportunity to speak to someone who's despairing of life, why will you tell them that they matter? What kind of reason, purpose will you give to a person who feels a sense of despair and feels that their life is worth nothing and it's not significant? What answer will you give? Will you say that what gives life significance is that a person is loved? Well, then what will you say to the person who nobody loves? The person who feels forgotten, the person who has been passed over, what will you say to them? I always remember a poignant conversation with a godly man whose wife had died in the course of the year, and it was getting near Christmas. We were having breakfast together and just talking about his experience, and he said, you know, people are so kind, and I have all kinds of invitations, and I have many wonderful friends, and my family are marvelous. He said, but here's the thing, I'm not first in anybody's life anymore. You know, my son, my daughter, they have someone else who's first in their life. They're kind to me, but I was first in my wife's life, and I'm not first in anybody's life anymore. It was so real. What are you to say? Then, of course, there are some people who say, well, you know, the contribution that a person makes, that's the thing that gives life great, great significance. Work, you know, being productive, contributing to the common good, you know, but if you go down that line, what are you going to say to the person who cannot find work? What are you going to say, more poignantly, to the person who is suffering a long-term illness and has come increasingly as they languish there, perhaps in some hospital or some center, and they're feeling increasingly, I am only a drain and a demand on the resources of others, and everybody else's life would be much easier if I wasn't here. And that question's really coming to roost in our society. What's the value of a life if a person's no longer able to contribute? Work is what makes life worthwhile. What are you going to say? So this is a huge question. What makes human life valuable? Why do you matter? Why are you significant? And here's what you say. Here's why you matter. Here's what gives dignity and worth to your life in every season and in every circumstance. You were made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. And the very fact that he is giving you breath now means that he wants you here. And in his great kindness, there is a purpose in everything that he does, and you can rest the significance of your place in this world on that marvelous, marvelous fact. Your life is a gift from Almighty God, in whose image and likeness you have been made. Tell people this.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Word of God, part of a larger series from Isaiah 40 called Waiting for the Lord. Well, Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported broadcast. We're able to be on the station each week because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you Pastor Collins' Advent devotional based on the series, Waiting for the Lord. It is our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift and support the ministry this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-673-6365. Again, our website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 877-OPEN-365. Well, if you did join us a little bit late, we're in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, focusing on verses 6 to 8 today. Let's get back to the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
Your life is not only beautiful, it is also fragile. These are the two things you need to know: the dignity and worth that you have of being made in the image of God, but also the fragility of your life as a created being. Do you see that here? Cry this: all flesh is grass, and all beauty is like the flower of the field, and the grass withers. And this beautiful flower, what happens? It fades. So speak not only about the beauty, but also about the fragility of human life. In other words, to live well, we need to know both the beauty and the fragility of our own lives. Now, the Bible, of course, speaks often about the fragility of our lives, perhaps never more clearly and powerfully than in James and chapter 4, a passage that many of you will know well. This is where James the Apostle speaks directly to the big-time planners and strategists. And he says this: "Now come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a town, and we're going to spend a year there, and we're going to trade, and we're going to make a profit." So here's strategic planning, you see, and it's a good thing to do. And here are people who are saying, now we got this marketing strategy, and we're going to go to this town, and we're going to have big impact, we're going to spend a year, we're going to have focus, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to make a profit, and here's what it's going to be. And all of us know what this world is like. He's talking right into the world in which we are living through the week, in the world of business. And then he says this: with all this planning and all that you're going to do and all that you're preparing for 10 years down the line and all the rest of it, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. And then James says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. What a description of your whole life and mine. Colin, you're like a mist that appears for a little time and then you're gone. Never forget that. Never forget that. So here's what you ought to be saying. You ought to be saying, if the Lord wills, we will live and we'll do this or that. And as it is, here's what you do. You boast about your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Wow, that's a powerful statement. Now, you see what he's saying? To live well, to live wisely, and this is what people need to hear, this is what you're to cry, you need to know both the beauty and the fragility of your life. And that if we learn these things well, they will produce this twin response. I learn the beauty of the gift of life I'm made in the image of God. That's going to make me grateful before God, thankful before God, joyful before God. And I learn the fragility of my own life well. It's going to make me humble before God. So here's what you're to say. Here's what the world needs to hear. And what we need to grasp: number one, your life is beautiful and it is fragile. Number two, what am I to cry? Well, say this, and I summarize it again here, that God is in control of your death as well as your life. This is something very important for the church to say and to speak, that God is in control as much of your death as of your life. And notice how he says this in verse 7. The grass withers, the flower fades, Now, when does the flower fade? Notice the clear statement here. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. So why does the grass wither? Why does the flower fade? Because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Now, this is very important to understand, to know ourselves and to understand our life. According to the Bible, human life both begins and continues and ends by the breath of God. You remember from the book of Genesis, right back in the beginning, how Genesis 2:7 tells us that the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. So God forms what must have been essentially a corpse, forms this body from the dust of the ground. In other words, you could do a chemical analysis of the human body, and you would find all these elements from the periodic table, and it could be divided, and even people have put a value on what are the various components of a human body, what are they worth. But this is just a corpse, and it's lying on the ground, and God's made it from the dust, chemically analyzable. That wasn't a word. Anyway, there we go. But what does God do? He breathes the breath of life. And suddenly, can you imagine this? Adam becomes conscious, aware of himself. He lives. He's a living being. He gets up, and his first view is the face of God revealed to him. That's how human life began. That is how your life began. God breathed life into you, and your life today is sustained by the fact that He is breathing life into you. It is in Him, the apostle says, that we live and move and have our being. So life begins by the breath of God. That's what it is. That's why breath and life are interchangeable words in the way that they're translated in the Bible. And one day, God will breathe on you again. And that will be the time when your life in this world will end. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Word of God. Now, we're going to have to pause right here, but next time we'll continue and we're going to see why we can trust the Word of God completely. Our message today is from Isaiah chapter 40, and it's part of a series called Waiting for the Lord. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, I hope you'll come to our website. You can listen there. Our website address is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, the website, it's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station because of your generosity. We truly are listener-supported. But as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's 24-day Advent devotional. Colin is called Waiting for the Lord based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
This is one of the most marvelous chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Of course, the title, Waiting for the Lord, comes from the end of this chapter, where we have the marvelous promise that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But this great chapter begins with something very wonderful. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. That has really caught me. Speak tenderly. You know, we live in a harsh world with harsh words. And as God's people, we need to learn to speak tenderly to one another. And God speaks tenderly to us in the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's good news of His marvelous grace and of His free forgiveness. And you know, as we prepare ourselves again for Christmas and for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to focus on the gospel and on the tenderness of God towards us, there's something nourishing to the soul about that. So this is a chapter of the Bible that I just want to kind of bathe in preparation for Christmas. I found it so nourishing to my own life. And this little devotional, I hope, is going to be really nourishing for you too.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this devotional book, Waiting for the Lord, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online. Our website is openthebible.org, or call us toll-free at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Ever wonder what's the difference between Jesus and us? Find out next time on Open the Bible Weekend.